Thanks, Pastor Justin, and thanks, Deanna. Welcome to 2048. Yeah, maybe. You'll be listening in 2048. Hey, Justin and Deanna were talking, and he talked about her bringing the calmness to the room. Hey, sweetheart, let's bring that home. Yeah, let's do that at home. She actually does. She calms me down all the time. I'm the high-strung one that's always stressed out about the next thing. And I've been stressed out here this morning, and you know that because you couldn't hear us. And I'm just so thankful you can hear us now. By the way, I'm Stan, and I'm part of the team here at WBC. Welcome to Church Online. And hey, for those of us that are in Melbourne, we are now 2 weeks in to our reset of 6 more weeks of lockdown. How good is that? It's really good because that means we've only got 4 weeks left. 2 weeks ago, it seemed like a long time. And now you're already a third of the way there, so well done. And can I remind you that if we look around the world today, some of the things that are going on in Lebanon, some of the things that are going on internationally, even in the U.S., they're getting ready for this big election, which seems to be setting itself up for chaos and all that. We're actually fairly blessed here in Australia, so praise God that that we're here and even in lockdown. Hey, we are in the middle of a series called Find Your Fit, and the goal of this series is to help us discover who we are, how God has made us, and what that means for our lives, how we play that out in our lives. So I'd ask you the question this morning, what have you learned about yourself? What have you learned about yourself through this series so far? Well, first of all, we started with learning that God made us all unique. You are an original. God doesn't make copies. That means you are valuable. And then we looked at the fact that God has made us for a purpose, and he's made us to serve. And Pastor Justin brought to us that we are all ordinary people. He said, be ordinary and be great at it. I love that. Thanks for that message. And if you missed any of these messages so far, and Pastor Mark last week, go to our YouTube channel, stream those. Better than anything on Netflix. Set your evening up to do that and just watch over and over again. We're discovering how God has made us, and we're using the acronym SHAPE. S-H-A-P, and we've been talking about our spiritual gifts, that's the S, and then our heart, our abilities, that's natural talents, and we talk about our personalities and our experiences, how all those work together to help us become who God has made us to be. Now, as we continue the series today, I want to plant a question in your mind. I want you to start thinking about this question. What is it that you are passionate about? What are you passionate about? What is it that wakes you up in the morning, gets your energy going, and you just get so excited about? The answer to that question can be found in the H of our shape, our heart. Our heart. Well, that's the thing that brings out those passions. Today, I want us to hear our heartbeat a little bit. And I brought a stethoscope. And I was going to let you guys all listen in to my heartbeat. And it actually works. It's going, actually, oh yeah, it's there, yes. I do have a heart for those that may not understand that. But we can listen to our heartbeat. It goes something like this. I was practicing that this morning. Pastor Justin said, oh, is that an irregular heartbeat? And some of you have to suffer with that, and that's not always a good thing. And if your heart's beating like crazy, maybe you need to go to the doctor for that. But when we talk about our heartbeat, we can think of several different things. The dictionary definition talks about the organ that pumps our blood, and that's what I was trying to listen to through the stethoscope there. It's also our driving impulse. We might say that person played the game with a lot of heart, or there wasn't a whole lot of heart in that event that just happened and with the people and the participants. But biblically, when we talk about the heart, the Bible uses the heart to talk about the center of our motivations, the center of our desires and our inclinations. A few verses that kind of sum that up or help us get a picture of that is Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Not talking about that thing that goes pump, 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 pump. He's talking about those desires. And then love him and serve him with all your heart. And of course, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, this is a lot of people's favorite verse in the Bible. Trust the Lord with all your heart. We love to say that verse. How often do we actually do that verse? That's a whole nother sermon series probably someday. But when we talk about the heart, the biblical heart, the heart does three things. It controls three different things for us. First of all, it determines what I say. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 says, whatever is in your heart determines what you say. If you have ever said something and when it came out of your mouth, you thought, wow, where did that come from? It came from your heart. That's what the Bible says. It says, those things that come out of our mouth were in our heart before they came out of our mouth. And not only does it determine what we say, it also determines how we feel. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10 says, but I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine the secret motives. See, the Bible tells us that there are motives within our heart, and it's not talking about that organ. It's talking about the desires, the passions that are deep within inside us that make us feel the way we feel. And then finally, the heart determines what I do. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. See, guys, the heart in our shape is the control center. It controls everything else. It decides and guides and directs all the things that we say, do, and feel. It all comes back to the heart. So we need to regularly examine the heart. In fact, when we consider that it determines what we say, what we feel, and what we do, for some of us, when we evaluate our heart based on those three things, it doesn't necessarily make us feel great about ourselves, does it? Because Jeremiah tells us the heart is deceitful above all things. Jesus said this. Jesus said that evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders all come from our heart. The heart is the control center. We can use it for evil or we can use it for good. Great illustration or understanding of this comes that when the heart being deceitful, some people are passionate about their footy teams, right? And if you have a heart that's following God, you're probably passionate about the Bombers. If your heart is being deceived, you're probably passionate about Collingwood. Okay, you can type in the chat room, you hate me, that's all right, I can handle that. But our heart is that control center. Today, we want to talk about it from the side that we're going to use it for good, okay? We want to determine that we're following Jesus, so we want to use those inclinations of the heart for good. Proverbs chapter 37, verse 4 says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. First, we delight ourselves in the Lord, then he gives us our heart's desires because our heart's desires are in alignment with his heart's desires. See, our heart is that God-given motivation that guides our lives. It motivates you to pursue certain activities, to put yourself into certain situations and certain environments because it's driving you, it's guiding you. We're talking about that question that I asked up front. What is it you're passionate about? What is it that when your heart's beating, it starts going like this, a little faster, a little faster. And it just starts beating so fast. That is the heart we're talking about, the thing that the adrenaline starts flowing and it just gets you fired up and excited. Some examples from history. We learn in the book of Exodus, in the Old Testament, a guy called Moses. In chapters 2 and 3, it tells a story about him. Moses was born, he was a Hebrew, and his countrymen were all slaves in the country called Egypt. You know Egypt. And they were killing all the baby boys. So Moses' mom hid him in a basket in the river, in the reeds, and Pharaoh's daughter found Moses there and rescued him. She adopted Moses. So then Moses was raised in Pharaoh's palace. He was raised as royalty. Well, as Moses got a little bit older, one day he decided, I'm going to go out and hang with my Hebrew mates. He said, I've had enough of just being this is seen as an Egyptian. Maybe he's had some identity issues. We'll talk about that in an upcoming series later this year when we're going through Exodus. But Moses said, I'm going to go hang out with the Hebrews. When he went out, he saw how hard they were working as slaves. He saw what was happening to them. And he came across this one Hebrew slave who was being beaten by an Egyptian. And when Moses saw that, this is what happened. His heart started racing. Moses then took the Egyptian's life. Now, probably not the best outcome. Probably not the best result when your heart starts racing is to go and kill someone. A lot of you probably feel that way right now around our politicians and things. Give them a break. Nobody's ever done this before. But Moses then went out the next day and he saw two Hebrews, two of his countrymen, fighting with each other. And he went to them and he said, hey guys, you're brothers. You're of the same country. You shouldn't be fighting like this. You're supposed to be going the same direction. One of them looked at Moses and said, who are you to tell us anything about that? What are you going to do? You going to kill us like you did the Egyptian yesterday? That got Moses' attention, and he ran and he hid because Pharaoh had heard about it, and certainly there would have been a price on Moses' head at that point. So Moses is out in the desert in a place called Midian, and he's wandering around the desert, and he comes across a well, and this is another time we see Moses' heart. In chapter 2, verse 17, he was there at the well, and it said, but some other shepherds came and chased them away. Moses jumped up and rescued the girls from the shepherd. Then he drew water for their flocks. There were some women shepherds that were there, and some other shepherds sent them away and forced them, who were being abused by the other shepherds. That showed his heart as a rescuer. And then, as Moses was going along there, several years later, Moses is out tending the sheep. Several years have passed. A new Pharaoh is in town. But Moses, people, Israel, were still slaves. And God comes and he speaks to Moses through a burning bush. You may remember that story. This bush was on fire, but it wasn't consumed. And Moses was in awe of that. And Moses saw the bush, and then he heard God speak to him from the bush. And this is what God said. In chapter 3, verse 9, it says, look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me. And I've seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must, get that word, you must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. He's saying, Moses, that thing that got you so fired up, that caused you to kill an Egyptian, that thing, seeing my people in slavery, seeing my people being mistreated, seeing my people be abused, that thing that made your heart race, I agree. It's reached my heart. The prayers of my people have come to me. And now I am sending you to deliver my people, Israel, out of bondage. Moses' heart was beating fast. Because his heart and God's heart were in alignment to accomplish something amazing, something that was very needful. What issue grips your heart? What issue makes your heart start beating so fast? What issue does that for you? Is it an issue that might align with the heart of God? What does God want to do with that? Maybe it's seeing people abused. Maybe it's injustice. Maybe it's modern day slavery. I don't know what it is for you, but I want you to keep processing that. What am I passionate about? Nehemiah is another example from history. In chapter 1, we see that Nehemiah was serving in the palace in Persia with King Artaxerxes. He was the king's cupbearer. It would have been a pretty cool job unless somebody tried to poison the king. But some of his countrymen were already back in Jerusalem. A remnant had gone back, and they were setting up the city again. And some of his brother and some friends came and visited Nehemiah. And they said, or Nehemiah said, hey, how are things going? And they said, not good. Not good. The walls are broken down and the gates have been burned. Things are not good. Nehemiah's heart started racing. that heartbeat. It says this in verse 4, when I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. It says, Nehemiah prayed. Then he approached the king and he asked the king, can you give me permission to go back and to lead my people in rebuilding the wall? And by the way, can I have some resources to do that with? This was very risky. And if the king didn't like that request, Nehemiah could have been done. It was a risk that he was willing to take because he had a heart and a passion to see the wall rebuilt in Jerusalem, the city protected. The king gave him what he asked for, and Nehemiah led the rebuilding of the wall, and it took 52 days. It was a mammoth effort, several miles, several kilometers of wall being built. He organized people, got them all together because he had a heart that was beating with God's heart. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 12 confirms that it was a plan God had placed in his heart. It says, I had not told anyone about the plans God had put in my heart. Question. What is it that wrecks your heart when you see it? What is it that wrecks your heart when you hear about it? That just breaks your heart, that makes you start tearing up, and maybe the tears start flowing and you're just so broken about it. Another example, very familiar, especially to the kids. You've heard this story so many times of David and Goliath. You remember that? Well, Goliath was the champion of the Philistines. He was a giant. And he was coming out every day and he was mocking the Israelites, saying, send someone to fight me. Send me your best. I'll take them on. And the Israelites would just run every day when he would come out. 40 days this happened. And then David, a shepherd boy, was there to see his brothers. He was bringing some supplies in to his brothers and to check up on them and see how they were doing so he could go back and tell his dad. When David came in, Goliath came out again. And Goliath, just as he had done before, he was mocking and inviting a contest. And the Israelites were all running. And one of them said to David, they said, hey, Dave, have you seen the giant? David asked a question. As David heard this, he heard this giant, his heart went from to. His heart's racing. And he said this, who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of God? That was David's heart. Who is this Philistine that he's allowed to do this? He's basically saying, what is wrong with you guys? He has no power, no authority. Who in the world does he think he is? So David went to Saul and he said, hey, I got a heart for this. I'll take care of this giant. So Saul said, no, you're just a kid. You're too small. There's no way you're going to do this. And David argued with him, and he told him his resume. He told him about his experiences. We'll talk about that more later in the series. We talked about his experience of the lion and the bear. He rescued sheep from them and had clubbed those things to death. And he said, and I'll take the giant out too. Saul finally said, okay, and gave him all this armor. And David said, hey, this doesn't fit. It's not going to work. And you know the rest of the story. Goliath came to David again. As David went out to him and Goliath was mocking him, he said this, you come to me with sword and spear. Or David said this, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. David's heart was to stand up for the Lord, to not allow his God to be abused verbally or any other way, not to allow God's people to run away from the enemies that God had told them they would defeat. You know the rest of the story. He grabbed the stone, grabbed the sling, tossed the sling at the giant, and then like a laser-guided missile, God put that stone right between Goliath's eyes. David's heart for God caused him to say, no way, I'm not going to put up with this. What giant is it that you see in the world today that someone needs to take care of? That it makes your heart start racing when you hear about that giant of an issue. You may think you're insignificant. You may think you're incapable. You may think that the giant is too big and there's no way you could make a difference. But if God has given you a heart for that, it may very well be that that is the thing he's wanting you to invest your life in and take care of. In more recent history, William Wilberforce saw the slavery that was going on in Britain. And he led the charge to abolish slavery from Britain because he had a heart that said that's wrong. Martin Luther King had a heart to end discrimination in America, the racism that was rampant. He was sick of seeing black people sent to the back of the buses and black people given a different water fountain and toilet to use. And he did not want to see them marginalized anymore. He said, enough is enough. And he says, I have a dream. That dream cost him his life. But the efforts that he made freed people to behave like people with each other. Billy Graham's famous evangelist. He filled stadiums around the world many times over. For decades, Billy did that. But why? Because Billy had a heart that said, I can't stand the fact that there are people who are going to spend a Christless eternity in a place called hell. He preached the same message over and over and over again because he had a heart and a passion to see people trust Christ. These were all ordinary people who had a heart and a passion for God, for that specific area of life, for that giant that God had given them. And they aligned their passion with God's heart and made a difference, did extraordinary things. Are you hearing your heartbeat today? Have you answered that question? What am I passionate about? Proverbs 27:19 says, as a face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the real person. What this teaches us is that our heart is the real me. What comes out of your heart, that's the real you. See, physiologically, we each have a different heartbeat, a different rhythm. Some might be like this. Some might be, but it's all different. Just like our fingerprints are different, God has given us a physical heartbeat that is unique to you. He's also given you unique desires and passions, the emotional heartbeat. That heartbeat that when you see a certain thing, you're drawn to a certain activity, environments, and all that, that says, I got to do something about it. That is what we're talking about today. You know, you are passionate about different things than I am. I'm passionate about different things than you are. It's because God has made us that way. He's made us unique, and he's given us those passions. And, you know, we can't expect other people to have the same passions we do. That's where we get in trouble when we have a passion for something. We know that issue. Maybe it's seeing girls sold into the sex trade. Maybe that's an issue that for you, you're willing to die for that, and somebody else isn't quite as passionate. They care, but it's different. It's because God has given you that deep, deep passion for it. God has given us hearts that he wants to align with his, to accomplish his purposes, to accomplish great and mighty things through him working through us. So I ask you today, what is it that you just absolutely can't stand? What is it that gets you fired up? Is it racism? Is it sexual exploitation? Is it the fact that people around the world die every day because they don't have simple medications or even clean drinking water? Maybe that gets you fired up. Is it that there are people on this planet who have never heard the name of Jesus and don't understand that he loved them and came and died for them? Is it that people have walked away from their faith because they were hurt by the church who maybe did the wrong thing? Is it seeing things done inefficiently in business and government or around the world? You know, that can be a passion to get things done well. Is it seeing orphaned or abandoned children? What is your heart? I would say to you that not every issue that touches your heart a little bit is a calling. It's not necessarily that God wants you to go and take care of everything. Maybe you hear a message or something and you're inspired for that moment, and maybe you throw some money at it and things, but then a few days later that's gone, or maybe the next day that's gone. That's not the heart we're talking about. I'm talking about that heart, that frustration, that thing you can't stand that just will not go away. What is that for you? What can't you stand? What makes you frustrated? What do we do with that thing? What do we do with that thing that every time we see it, it makes our heart go? What do we do with that? We got a choice, a couple of options. Often our response is to push it away, to say, wow, that's uncomfortable. That hurts. Wow, my heart is beating fast right now. And we can push it down and we can say, oh, I don't like the discomfort. I don't like that feeling. I don't like that emotion. So I'm just going to set it aside and pretend it's not there. Don't do that. Could I encourage you to fuel it? That thing that just gets your heart stirred up and beating fast, fuel that. Expose yourself to that issue as much as you can. Research it. Go after it. Look for opportunities. See what could be done about it. See what your gifts are and your abilities and all those other things that will align with your heart to make a difference in that thing. I need to warn you, though. If you decide to pursue that thing, it might cost you something. It will cost you something. It will cost you financially, most likely. You will have to sacrifice potentially your hopes and your plans and your dreams. It might even cost you your life, like it did Martin Luther King. But it's worth it to align your heart with God to make a lasting difference in this world. See, what wrecks your heart may be wrecking God's heart as well. And He's inviting you to step into that place. It's heaven and earth aligning. See, when we look across the landscape, there are things that we can do. There are some things out there that we see and we say, I can do that. There are some things out there that someone should do something about. But what I want to invite you in today is to that space, not of what you can do, not of something that someone should do, but what is it that you must do? You cannot not do anything. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about that heartbeat that races so hard, that thing that wrecks you so deeply that you say, you know what? It would be wrong for me not to do something about it. What is that issue for you? Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, God is working in you, giving you the desire. He's giving you that passion, that heartbeat, and the power to do what pleases Him. There are some things God wants done. There are some things that you and I have a heartbeat for, and that aligns with God's heart. And they're the things that we must do. So what is it you're passionate about? Have you figured that out yet today? You've been thinking about it for the last half hour or so. If you haven't figured it out, ask the person beside you. Ask one of your friends. Phone a friend later today. They probably know what you're passionate about because it comes out. You don't hide it well. But then the last question is, what are you going to do about it? You can have the passion. You can be excited about it. You can talk about it till you're blue in the face. But what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about that thing that God has put in your heart? One last thing. God's heart is for you. God has a heart for you. See, God's heart for you is a heart of love. And that heart of love caused Him to send Jesus, His only Son, to this earth to die for your sins and my sins. It says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's God's heart for you. That's God's heart for me. It's a heart that sent his only begotten son so that whoever believed would not perish but would have everlasting life. God's heart for you is patient. He's not willing that any should perish but that all should come to repentance. Jesus, when he was on this earth, had a heart of love and compassion. And that heart of love and compassion took him to the cross. It made him say yes to the cross for you and for me. God's heart was for you. Christians, that's a message you need to be reminded of all the time. Remember what God did for you? But maybe you're listening in today and you haven't taken that first step of aligning your heart with God. You haven't recognized yet that great heart of love he has for you that caused him to send Jesus. And right now you're sitting there and your heart's racing. Your heart is doing that thing because you know that you haven't taken that step to accept his gift of Jesus. You'd say, yeah, you know what? I know. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. And I've never been willing to say yes to Jesus. I want to invite you to do that. If that's you today, if your heart's racing right now saying, yeah, I need to say yes to Jesus, just say the simple prayer, five simple words. Jesus, I give you my life. That's it. Jesus, I give you my life. Would you pray that prayer today with me? Jesus, I give you my life. If you said that prayer today, I'd like for you to let us know. If you're on a device, click the button that says, hey, I need prayer, or say, I said yes to Jesus today, whatever the button says there, and let one of our team connect with you and pray with you. God has a heart for you. If you don't know him yet, his heart for you is to come to Jesus. If you do know him, your heart was racing at some points today because you were thinking about that thing you're passionate about. What is it, and what are you going to do about it? Father, thank you so much for the day. Thank you for giving us all a unique heart to accomplish what you want in this world. Lord, there are things that we can do. There are things that somebody should do. But Lord, you've given each of us things or a thing that we must do. Help us, Lord, to discover that and help us to act on it. Help us to invest our lives for that thing. Lord, we love you. Thanks for loving us. And Lord, we pray that you be glorified as we act on our heartbeat. In Jesus' name, amen.